Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the Street Cop Training Podcast. I'm your host, founder and CEO of Street Cop Training. My name is Dennis Bonino, and today we have a very special guest, maybe even a little selfish for me, Emily Fletcher, who wrote a book called Stress Less, Accomplish More. A lot of you know that I am a twice-a-day meditator. I've been meditating for about 2.5 years, and I'm really a firm believer in meditation being a part of my life, and I want to emphasize it for your life as well, namely for first responders, because it helps control the dialogue that's within your body that you may not be able to control subconsciously. So this episode is going to be one of the best episodes we've recorded thus far. I'm glad that you're here listening to it, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I've enjoyed it. Hey, how are you?
Hi, great. How are you doing?
Do you remember me?
I do. Okay. Yeah, you did Diva Live like many years ago.
Like 2.5, yeah.
Okay, like right before the pandemic?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I remember you saying that you worked with a bunch of police officers and you're in Jersey?
Yeah, you're right. We're not too far from Manhattan. We're about 45 minutes.
Okay.
You travel out to Jersey very often?
I don't, but I have two team members that are in Jersey.
So listen, this is going to be a good thing for everybody, and I'm glad that you're here, and I appreciate you taking the time, because what I've learned throughout the years of doing this is people are in significant amount of pain. We actually had our first talks today of our outpatient program for clinicians that are signing on to this company, and we're going to create our own thing for first responders for mental health. So it's a big to-do.
And what's that lineup look like? What's the mental health protocol?
Well, we have a in-house clinician. We had one kind of didn't pan out a little bit, but we have this next one, and she's very good. She's doing something called brain spotting. You ever hear this?
It sounds familiar, but I.
So what it is, and she was just here. I should have had her stick around. But essentially what it is she puts you through this quote unquote scan, for the lack of a better term, and she can actually get to the core root issues that you're dealing with and fix these things in 5 to 6 sessions instead of going to continual mental health, you know, care for a year or 2 years. She thinks she can get things done in 5 to 6 sessions and fix an issue. And I know you have to say fix and things like that, but really get to the root cause of it and start to address that.
And is she using EMDR or like?
Well, she's an EMDR. She does EMDR as well, but this is also something called brain spotting. It's a new technology. She said 100% of clinicians have subscribed to it.
Wow. I'm going to check that out. That's cool.
Yeah.
And brain then what's spotting. The treatment? I guess I'll listen to the podcast.
I haven't gone yet. She did half the staff. So there's like 11 people in here so far. She brings them to a room for 45 minutes to an hour. And some come out crying. Some come out. She's getting very deep. So she's looking for this reaction when she hits this. So she gets them to start talking. And she can actually monitor the body and knows when they hit in a certain topic. And starts digging right into that.
Interesting. I mean, it sounds similar to EMDR, but it sounds more diagnostic.
Yeah. EMDR. I'm familiar with what EMDR is, retraining the brain.
Wait, so you're using eye movement. So you're like going left to right while you're talking through trauma. And so you're actually rewiring the neurons and like getting the right and left hemispheres of the brain to talk to each other, which is why EMDR combined with Ziva is like so effective for PTSD, specifically with sex trafficking or military, or like, I imagine trauma that happens on, you know, like when you're a street cop, you know, like it's, you're in fight or flight often. And so those trauma things, like it's like that trauma, it's like an open window in the brain computer. Right. And so it's like, we have to rewire that. And so with the EMDR, you're talking through that traumatic incident while you're moving your eyes are following a light left to right.
Yeah. I'm now getting into the mental health. It's so interesting. We started talking about it about a year ago. And in that time, over 11 people walk up to me in person and say they decided not to take their lives because of something I said. Yeah, it's a very impactful. So you start waking up and you're like, oh, I just got to get in and do more and more. And we're doing great things.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. And you're doing great things too, by the way. Like, I mean, I'm trying to, this is not my time to shine. Changed my life. And it was simple. I mean, I'm not hard to sell. I just be sold a little bit and you sold me.
What was it that, like, when you started, what was it that you were looking for? And well, then what's actually shifted for you?
So initially I had heard you on, I think, Impact Theory with Tom Bilyeu. And then I said, all right, well, I'll get the book. And then I listened to the book and I was like, all right, well, I'll go to the class.
Stress Less, Accomplish More.
That's right. Stress. We're going to talk about that today. But I looked at the, I'm like, oh, wow, she's in New York. This is great. This is easy for me. And then we had a class that had low enrollment numbers in Louisiana. I was like, cancel that class. I'm going to meditation school.
Nice. And
yeah, we did. We had like, whatever. I don't want to say those people are probably pissed that I didn't show up, but it is what it is. I had to prioritize something. And I'm glad I got in before the pandemic, because had I not been training with meditation, or, you know, I don't know what the word you want to use is, but adapting that as part of my routine, I had experienced quite a bit of what I consider to be stressful life events. I think that a lot of my ability to cope with that has to do with my ability to relax the body. It's very interesting how I didn't really experience a lot of anxiety, but flying was one of them. And now I fly very comfortably.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad to hear that.
So I'll meditate upon takeoff, and I meditate on landing just because it's a good 22 minutes in the beginning, 22 at the end. I know where to time, and I'm looking at the map. I'm like, this is perfect. So it's been really good. I really enjoy it. I don't like when I miss it. It really thwarts my day. So
I just meditated right before this, and I only had about, you know, 15 minutes total to do the whole thing, but I was like, I'll take it, because I've had a really intense day. I had a private client this morning, and I rarely get to teach in person anymore. So I actually went to someone's home and taught them, and then took the subway, which all felt like novel and exciting post COVID. And so I was just ready to like replenish, and it just feels so good. It felt like this supercharged power nap. And, you know, even like each, I was like, oh, I have 2 minutes left, and I would still go back in. And it felt like a whole eternity passed in those 2 minutes. And now I feel much fresher and ready for our combo.
That's great. That's great. Well, I appreciate it. I think we're pretty much off to the races here. So, we're talking about law enforcement. And again, a lot of people are going to hear this. So maybe I've tried to impose this on people. Why do you think people are so apprehensive? Or one thing I'll hear from people, and I'll put this out there, I got multiple questions, but one, people are very apprehensive with the idea of meditation. But two, every time I tell somebody about my routine, is because people admire the kind of work that I'm doing and the kind of progress that I've had. They'll say, well, I can't quiet my brain down. I just can't sit there for 10 minutes and it just doesn't stop. We actually did like a group meditation session here. I wanted to walk people through, like four or five of us. Some of the girls in the office, and one girl was like, I can't handle it. This is crazy. I'm like, you need to just, it's okay. It's supposed to be like that. So maybe you can elaborate on that a little bit. Why would somebody be apprehensive to get into meditation and some of the benefits of it and some of that, those first myths?
Yeah. So our parents used to punish us when we were little by putting us in timeout, go sit in the corner, sit still, go think about what you've done. And that's, I mean, maybe consciously or subconsciously, when we hear meditation, you're like, wait, you want to go and sit with my thoughts? You want to listen to this bully in my brain? No, thanks. I would rather drink, smoke pot, watch Netflix, watch porn, take pills. I will do anything other than listen to the voice in my brain. And so because there's this rampant misconception that the point of meditation is to clear the mind or quiet the mind, which is impossible, which we'll talk about in a moment, people, one, think, well, I can't do that because I'm going to be failing. And none of us will do anything for very long that we feel like we're failing at. And then two, nobody wants to listen to the bully in their brain. There's billions of dollars of industry built on top of ensuring that you never have to feel a feeling and that you never have to sit with your thoughts, right? We're like constantly distracted. Like you're in an elevator for 20 seconds. What are you doing? Scrolling through Instagram. You're at a red light for 1 minute. Let me just check my emails. Like the thought of sitting still is terrifying for most people. Mm-hmm. And then you say, oh, 15 minutes. People are like, I'm no way. I have ADHD. I have ADD. I can't sit still. And so the thing that I want people to understand is that meditation is a skill. It is a skill. And if you don't have any training, and if you don't have a technique that's designed for you, and you try and sit still for 15 minutes, it is going to feel like torture. You are going to think that you're failing. And so just like you wouldn't magically expect yourself to start speaking Japanese tomorrow, or magically expect to be able to tap dance or do gymnastics without ever taking a class, why on earth would you expect yourself to be able to magically be able to meditate without training in the skill? And here's the really good news. Once you have a technique that's made for you and not a monk, and once you have training, then you actually start to look forward to it, right? Like you and I just said, like, I crave it. My day is better. I enjoy it so much when I do it, but that's because we took the time to get a tool that was designed for us and get some training.
Some people take these apps over in person. And I'll say to somebody, you know, tell me about your routine. You know, I work out twice a day. I say that a lot. So they break my chops in here all the time about, oh, we didn't know you worked out twice a day, but I'm proud of it. And it's a hard thing to do. And I it's part of my routine. I feel very good about it. I'm 40. I feel like, I feel better than I did when I was 21.
Yeah.
So I will say to people like, oh, you meditate. I'm like, yeah, I do this thing called Ziva meditation. A lot of people I'll run into who actually have mental, hangups, or they're dealing with something emotionally. I'll say, go on YouTube, put her name in, put in Ziva meditation. Look at Emily Fletcher. She's very, very good. But then a lot of people will say, well, I do the app. I do an app. Yeah. What is the benefit of the app versus in person and learning a technique without the app? And questions along those lines.
Yeah. So, you know, in this day and age, when you ask people if they meditate, they either say like, yeah, I do Headspace, or yeah, I do Calm. Like, these are the two most popular meditation apps out there. And we all owe them a huge debt of gratitude, because there is something around 50 million people who have downloaded one of those two apps, which is amazing. And I would call them like a great gateway drug. Right. It's like a really good bridge, and it's taken so much of the stigma out of it. And people think like, oh, it's easy. I can download it on my phone. It's just a few minutes. And look, they're doing, I think, a lot of good. So I'm not here to hate on anybody's apps. And if people are using apps and loving them, then awesome. But my analogy here would be like, those apps are like a delicious glass of water. And if you want to get in the ocean, then come to Ziva. Like, if you want to see just how good your life can get, if you want to see just how easy this practice can be, if you want, again, a technique that is designed for someone with a busy mind and a busy life versus something that was designed for a monk, then Ziva is what you want. So Ziva is the name of my company. The style of meditation that I teach is a trifecta of mindfulness, meditation, and manifesting. So the three M's: mindfulness, meditation, and manifesting. And this is what a lot of people don't know. Most of the apps out there are teaching just mindfulness, right? Now, mindfulness I would define as the art of bringing your awareness into the present moment. So we need this. Like, if you are in a high demand situation, you're in a dangerous situation, you're an athlete, you're in the military, like, you must have this ability to bring yourself into the present moment. And most of us are so consumed with the past and the future that to have anything, someone guiding you through, focusing on your breath, any way to get to the present moment can be valuable. But here's the big differentiator between apps and Ziva. Mindfulness is only dealing with your stress in the now. Like, whoa, I just had a crazy shift. I saw some crazy stuff. My body went into full-blown fight or flight. Let me do 10 minutes of this app. It's going to calm me down in the now. It's a state change. Great. What Ziva is going to do is it's going to create a trait change. It is actually going to get rid of the stress from your past. And a lot of people are like, what do you mean? I can't have stress from my past. And it's like, nope, your parents' divorce, that fight you got in when you were 16, the college you got kicked out of, the job you got fired from, the all-nighter you pulled when you were 24, every Jack Daniels, every Taco Bell, like, that stuff is stored in your cellular memory. And especially for people who are in high stress jobs, every single time you've ever launched into fight or flight, it's left an open window on your brain computer. Okay. Mm-hmm. Those things are called premature cognitive commitments, or PCCs. And by the time the average adult is 20, we have about 10 million of those open windows on our brain computer. And I would imagine that that number is much higher for cops, because your whole life, even if you're not currently in a fight or flight situation, you always have that question mark. Is this going to be the shift? Is this going to happen? You know, my partner, am I safe? So you're constantly on guard. And when you have that many open windows on your brain computer, it slows your machine down. And nobody likes to hear this, but unfortunately, stress makes us stupid, sick, and slow. And that, it's on the back cover of my book. Stress makes you stupid, sick, and slow. And we cannot afford to be stupid, sick, and slow. Certainly not in such a high pressure, high demand job. And so what Ziva's doing is that it's actually giving your body rest that is five times deeper than sleep. And this is a really important point, because when you give your body the rest that it needs, it knows how to heal itself. And one of the things that it's healing itself from is stress. not just from today, but all that stress that you've picked up from your past. So it's basically going in and closing down all those windows on your brain computer so that you have your full computing power, your full battery power for the task at hand. So while mindfulness might be good for dealing with your stress in the now, Ziva meditation is going to get rid of your stress from the past, which makes you smarter. It makes you faster. It makes you healthier. It improves your sex drive. It can reverse your body age. And so like the list of benefits is almost endless.
When you say it gets you sick, is there a physiological correlation to how it gets you sick?
Oh yeah. So look, so we hear this term fight or flight a lot, but what that means actually is that when we get stressed, our body is having an outdated response to a demand. So 10,000 years ago, you're hunting and gathering in the woods, a saber-toothed tiger jumps out with the intent to kill, your body's going to launch into a series of physiological reactions. First thing that happens is digestion floods with acid to shut down digestion because you need all of that energy that you would have been using digesting. You need that to fight the tiger or flee from the tiger. Right now, that acid will seep onto your skin so that you don't taste very good if the tiger bites into you. This is what prematurely ages us over time, is that adrenaline and cortisol, they're acidic in nature, and that acid on our skin prematurely ages us. Your bladder and bowels will evacuate so that you're light on your feet. So this is why people get the nervous poos. Sex drive goes to the back burner. Immune system goes to the back burner, because who cares if you're going to get cancer if you're about to be killed by a tiger? Again, that is like all hands on deck. I don't have time to worry about cancer. I don't have time to worry about leukemia. I don't have time to worry about cleaning out all those potential threats. I have to deal with the immediate threat. And then adrenaline and cortisol levels go through the roof. So this series of chemical reactions is really useful if your demands are saber-toothed tigers. It's even really useful if you're on a shift and your life is being threatened. It's like, yes, get stressed. That's appropriate. But the thing where stress gets toxic is when we don't have the ability to downregulate. And if you're on high alert for too long, your body actually stops being able to downregulate. And for any biohackers out there, you'll hear this term thrown out around a lot, which is heart rate variability, HRV. So if you've got your Oura Ring or your body data monitoring device, what you want is a very high heart rate variability, which means when it's go time, you can go. And when it's rest time, you can rest. And what happens is we're very stressed for prolonged periods of time. We just start being on guard all the time and we lose the ability to downregulate. And this actually paradoxically weakens us, because if your body cannot rest and repair, then you don't have as much in the tank next time it's go time. And interestingly, just as far as like commanding presence, leaders, people that we're drawn to, we actually naturally, without even thinking about it, subconsciously will sync up to the person in the room who has the highest level of HRV, heart rate variability, because without even knowing it, we're looking for the person who can adapt. Like we feel safe because if a tiger comes, we want the person who's going to be able to fight the tiger. And if it's time to rest, we want the person who can rest. If it's time to flee, we want to follow the person who can flee. So it actually makes you a more commanding leader. It makes you a better lover. It makes you a better parent. But we need to have the ability to have our state match the demand.
It's amazing. You mentioned cancer before, and I don't want to breeze over that too quickly. Is there any kind of correlation between cancer, stress, and meditation circumventing or helping the likelihood of you not, you know, being diagnosed with cancer? Is any relation to that?
Well, I don't want to misspeak, and I don't think there's any been specific studies. What I do know for sure is that meditation strengthens your immune system, because if you're not constantly preparing for a tiger attack, then your body's immune system can function as it was designed. The other thing that I can speak to anecdotally is that I've had, you know, a few dozen over the course of the 13 years that I've been teaching, I've had a few dozen people being diagnosed with cancer, treating with cancer. And what I hear most often is that the meditation helps them through the cancer treatment.
Oh, wow.
That it helps them to recover, that, you know, the nurses are like, I've never seen anyone recover this quickly.
Wow.
You know, their partners being like, are you sure the chemo's working? Because she doesn't seem sick and her energy's fine. And they're like, she's bald. The chemo's working. Whatever she's doing to help her energy and to help recover is really, really doing its job. So can I say that meditation cures cancer? No. But what I can say is that it strengthens your immune system. And from what I've seen from direct experience is that it can really help you move through the treatment much more elegantly.
That's amazing. And, you know, I bring these things up because I want people to consider this to be a significant life change for them and the benefits that go along with it. As far as long-term benefits go, I mean, what are some of the long-term benefits, the corpus callosum, the strengthening of that? Does it fight Alzheimer's? And I'll tell you, I'm going to share with you after this what my story was with you and how there's a small conversation that we had that sold me on it. It doesn't take much to make me a believer because I'm one of those people who is like, I'll fucking drink that. If you're going to tell me it's going to do something good for me, I don't give a shit. Like, as long as I'm not going to die, I'm in, yeah, right? Like, I'm trying to level up and try something new outside of anything that seems a little too friggin' nutty, but I'm in. So let's talk about permanent things and the continuous practice of meditation being important to that permanent, thing.
Yeah. So there's some stuff that happens right off the bat. I mean, for most people, I'd say insomnia is the thing that changes the fastest. For me personally, I was dealing with 18 months of debilitating insomnia. And on the first day of my first class, I slept through the night for the first time in 18 months. And I have every night since. That was 13 years ago. But long term, then I stopped getting sick. I used to get sick 5 or 6 times a year. I didn't get sick for 8.5 years when I started. I stopped going gray. I'm 43 now and I'm starting to go gray now, but I was like legitimately going gray in my 20s, which I was not happy about. And, but that's just me personally. What has been scientifically proven is, like you said, over time, the corpus callosum, which is the thin white strip that connects the right and left hemispheres of the brain, that starts to get thicker. You can increase the size of your hippocampus by something like 27%. If you think about like your bicep, if you're like, oh, this thing's gonna make your bicep 27% bigger, you'd be like, yeah, sign me up. But this is like a very important part of your brain that can actually get bigger. You can increase neuroplasticity, which is the brain's ability to change itself. You can increase neurogenesis, which is the brain's ability to produce more neurons. And when people are like, I know it's hard because we don't have like a personal relationship with our neurons or our brain plasticity. But if you just think about your brain as the machine that's printing every single cell in your body, and the brain is the machine that's making every single decision in your life. So if you're not going to invest time and care in this thing, what the F else are you doing with your time? Like, this is the thing that's in charge of your body and every decision in your life. And if it is stressed and if it is compromised, it is going to impact everything else in your life. So, you know, sleep, certainly immune function, IBS is a big one that I hear, like people who are having really tricky digestion issues because of all that acidity from being stressed, that will go away. People's sex lives have been transformed. We constantly get like, I just had my first orgasm. I just changed my relationship with this. Fertility is a big one. I've had women at 43, 44, 45 who weren't even candidates for IVF suddenly have the fertility markers of an 18-year-old. I can speak for myself and that, you know, I just checked my fertility and you would think I was like 24 according to like my fertility count. And I'm again 43. So it's, you know, again, these are anecdotal, but I have in the book In Stress Less, Accomplish More, the first 7 chapters are all about the scientific, like the scientifically proven, what I call selfish reasons to meditate. And these are all like the long-term benefits that you're talking about.
Yeah, it's great. And I got to tell you, here's some credit to you. I don't know if you have great lighting or your skin is that good.
Well, it's both and. I have 2 windows and a ring light and my skin is like really rocking. And I'll tell you, I've flown my face off. Like, I've been traveling so much over the past few weeks and still, I think my skin is like getting better somehow. Wow. And I'm really busy at work right now. And so I've been trying to get a facial and I haven't for like 6 months. So I'm actually very proud of my skin at the moment because I've not been nice to her and she's doing great.
noticeably good.
Thanks.
Yeah,
same to you. Sure. Like, you're glowing right now.
I have the fucking lights too. That's why.
Yeah, but come on, you can only light. You know, you put makeup on a pig; it's still a pig.
I have a routine. Just so you know, I have a routine. Great.
Do you go
charcoal at night? Charcoal scrubs at night. Yeah. I don't keep a beard, so I shave constantly. Constant exfoliation. I sleep 7 solid to 8 hours a night. I don't stress. And this kind of leads into the conversation. And again, I don't expect you to remember the conversation specifically what we had, but we met in that place where it was a small work environment where people could rent those little boxes and tables.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I said to you, I'm somebody that doesn't really stress a lot. I feel like I don't. And interestingly enough, I've kind of found a lot more about myself out recently. But and you said, you look like a high achiever to me. Are you a high achiever? And I said, I am. At least I think I am. And you said, what if I told you if you went through this, you could function and be 10% more productive? And I said, yeah. She goes, would you sign up then? And I said, yeah. And you went, good. I think it's gonna be more like 30 to 40%. And I went, yeah, I'm sold. Just where do I fucking sign? Like, and to be, I don't know what the variable of this success has been. It's probably a combination of things, but certainly that sold me. So that's where I was like, and the cool thing is the, on the sidebar, I can't get anxious at all.
Really?
Yeah. It's wild. Like I can't, sometimes I get it and I'm like, oh, anxiety. I fucking forgot what that feels like. I can't get nervous anymore. Is that normal?
I mean, you know, I think for you, your body type, so there's like a sister science to this, which is called Ayurveda. It's like a 6,000 year old study of natural law. And in Ayurvedic medicine, there's different body types. And there is like fire, earth, and water. And sorry, it's like earth and water, fire, and then air and space. And so your body type, you, I think if I had to diagnose you, I would say that you are like earth and water, fire, and then air and space. And so for your type, you have like, meaning you're like of the earth, like you are, there's like mass to you, there's gravitas to you. Whereas I am predominantly air and space. And so when someone like a nervous system like me, when I get out of balance, I talk really fast, I get insomnia, and I get sort of anxious. But with body types like yours, and it's like if you're pitta dominant, which is fire, then when you're out of balance, it turns into like aggression and ambition. Mm-hmm. When the earth and water is out of balance, it can be just sort of like a boulder. It just wants to like sit still.
No, I'm the fire one.
Yeah. Okay. So you're pitta dominant. So it's that it can be aggression externally. And the thing is, if we don't have an opportunity to let that aggression out externally, then we can turn it inwards on ourselves. And so... But anyway, we have different body types. So I definitely can feel anxiousness. And recently, I'd say like in the middle of, you know, like lockdown, COVID, you know, social revolutions, I'm in Brooklyn, helicopters outside my, like, and I had a feeling where I was like, is this anxiety? I think I'm having anxiety because it had been so foreign, but it definitely came back. And even this morning, I had a private client and he's really fancy pants and like working with heads of state. And it was sort of in like an awkward, like he didn't really shake my hand or offer for me to sit. And we were just sort of looking at each other very awkwardly. And I started feeling myself getting anxious.
I was, here's a little reveal. I was a little anxious coming on with you. I've been looking forward to doing this for 2.5 years.
Yay.
Yeah. I got a little anxious. I'm like, this is fucking awesome. Like I'm pumped. Like you're really somebody that changed my life. And when I talk about you, I brag about you. And I came to your session for 4 times. There were some weird people there. That's all right. I feel like that probably happens at a lot. I don't know if you recall this, and you don't have to. There was one guy, I mean, he just would not stop breaking your balls the whole time. He had questions about everything. I remember saying to one of your staff, I go, is it weird if I just punch this guy? Because like, I just can't listen.
Yeah, we don't really condone violence at this.
No. They said no. Then I had like some fucking cucumber infused water or some shit. Right. But this guy just wouldn't stop. It's just like the dumbest question. Like, please, for the love of God, can we just meditate? Please just stop, sir.
I don't remember that.
Oh, you should ask your staff. Cause I said to her, I go, there's a guy in here who's like a troublemaker. And she went, yeah, I heard. I went, oh, okay. So I'm not just the only one who's acknowledging that.
And was he taking the course for the first time or he had been there?
I think he was. Okay. I can remember what he looked like. He asked you a question. He goes, so if you meditate and somebody hurts your child, are you going to like not do anything? And you're like, listen, motherfucker. I mean, I'm still a human being. I'm not going to let somebody hurt my child. I'm like,
I think this is an interesting thing to elaborate on, because I could imagine there's a story of like, if I'm a cop and I start meditating, am I going to turn into like some like patchouli wearing pieced out hippy dippy that loses my ability to fight?
No,
that is not the truth. Like, as a matter of fact, what's going to increase is your ability to adapt, where it's, you can fight when it's time to fight. You can rest when it's time to rest, which actually makes you a better warrior.
That's right.
And you know, if someone, like even in like the sacred ancient texts, you know, that I've been studying for 13 years, one of them is about the biggest war of all time. And the directive is actually like, hey, you got to go kill your cousins. And the guy's like, no, I don't want to kill my cousins. And he's like, well, look, you had an opportunity to take peaceable action 20 years ago and you didn't take it. And now you have to kill that guy. And if you don't, there's going to be millions of people that suffer for millennia. So giddy up. And so a lot of people think like, oh, I got to meditate. And now I'm just like full blown, like passive hippie. But it's not the truth. It's you without the stress. right? And where I think this is really important and really applicable as well to this podcast is that what none of us want is to be taking involuntary actions on people, right? None of us want to go into an involuntary fight or flight stress reaction. That's dangerous for everybody. Mm-hmm. That's when we make mistakes. That's when we do stuff that we shouldn't be doing. And so I'm interested in giving people the wherewithal to be able to respond appropriately to a demand versus just an involuntary fight or flight stress reaction. You know, that's you screaming at your partner. That's you accidentally firing someone. That's you, you know, making a mistake on the job that can't be repaired. And so none of us want that, right? And the meditation is going to give you that, even if it's minimal, even if it's just a microsecond, it's like you're responding to the demand versus reacting involuntarily.
I recently, we had a staff meeting and my VP said, literally, this place will be on fire and you'll be telling everybody, relax, calm down, just get a fire extinguisher, go find a hose. Nothing's going to happen. And, you know, honestly, as, and you know this, I'm sure there's critics that have come against you and tried to oppose some of the things that you're doing. And anytime you start rising and getting attention, you're going to have things, for a lack of a better term, shit being thrown your way. And, you know, I think that meditation now, because I can go back in and calm myself down. And there's also, you know, I'm also doing a lot of other things to progress and grow as well. But I understand that my body may be reacting, but it may not be a reflection of the actual truth that's going on.
Yeah.
Meditation really has got me to, again, I'm not getting those anxiety responses. Things happen. I'm like, I'm cool, comical. You read the story about Rob O'Neill who killed Bin Laden. And I think this kind of correlates to the story. So we actually had having him as a conference speaker at our next conference, Rob O'Neill, one of our keynotes.
Yeah.
And they ask him in interviews, and I'll ask him this when I interview him, you know, what were you feeling when you were going through that compound looking for Osama bin Laden? He said he's cool as a cucumber. His body was so conditioned. This is like his, I don't know, 50, 60th time he'd been out in a situation like this. He said everybody was just calm. It was just business for us. We were able to maneuver through this high stress situation.
Yeah.
And they were almost actually in a meditation sense going out there with their AirPods in and their earbuds, listening to music, getting calm.
Wow.
Yeah. Very interesting.
When they were training stuff. Or actually on the mission?
On the mission, on the helicopter, flying out there. And what he says is going to inevitable death.
Wow.
They were all planning on dying that night. If you watch any of the videos.
Wow.
They had no intentions of coming back.
Wow.
Yeah, it's wild, right?
Fascinating. So a couple of things here. One, it highlights, there's a beautiful saying from the Vedas, which Veda, V-E-D-A, Sanskrit word that means knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of nature, right? Like there are laws of nature, gravity, reciprocity. Like there are things that you can't change. You don't have to believe in them, but they are real. And so the Vedas are just a human interpretation of natural law. And it's like the more you understand these natural laws, the more you can use them to help you get to where you want to go versus like being bashed against the rocks while you're rigidly attached to how you think life should show up. And so there's a line in the Vedas that says that there's no such thing as a stressful situation. There are only stressful responses to given situations. No such thing as a stressful situation, only stressful responses to given situations. And what you just said illustrates that so beautifully. You put any other human in that role, they'd be having a full-blown meltdown panic attack. But because he was special ops trained exactly for this thing, he was like doing what he was meant to do. Versus, you know, you put me in an air traffic control tower, I would have a breakdown. I'd be like, I don't know how to land a plane. I don't call numbers to tell these pilots. Meanwhile, you put an air traffic control operator on front of in a stage with 3,000 people and say, hey, talk about the nuance of consciousness for 20 minutes, and they might have a real meltdown. So it's just a good reminder that there's no such thing as a stressful situation, only stressful responses to given situations. And the thing that we are in charge of is how we respond to these situations. How are we training ourselves now, today, for the inevitable demands that are coming? And look, like we can all feel it, okay? Like the world is changing and it's gonna keep changing more and more quickly. And, you know, with the food prices going up, with climate change, with the wars that are happening, with supply chain, like shit's about to get real on planet Earth right now. It already is getting real, but it's going to get more real. And the rate of change is going to continue to speed up. Mm-hmm. Right. And I really think that the single marker of human success moving forward is going to be our ability to adapt, because we can't control, no one person can control, you know, food scarcity, you know, climate change, the wars that are happening. And yet what we can control is how we're preparing right now to be able to adapt to the inevitable change.
When we talk about meditation in comparison to mental health, and I guess that's where we're going into at this point. I know we've kind of touched upon this, but I'm trying to, like, you know, people might say, well, I'm going to see a mental health therapist. Do you think it's one or the other, or combined to, you know, both what's your thoughts? Yeah.
Yeah. Both. I have been in therapy since I was 24. I took like a 7 or 8 year break. When I found meditation, I stayed in therapy for about a year. And then there did come a day where I was like, I think I'm good. Like, I think I can't imagine anything that this person's going to say to me that I don't really already know and understand. And then I went through a divorce about a year and a half ago, and I started back in therapy, sort of like navigate the intensity that is that. And the point of the story is that meditation is like a hardware upgrade. Therapy, religion, self-help books, these are software upgrades. Mm-hmm. Meaning what Ziva is going to do is it is giving your body such deep rest that it actually defrags the brain computer. It's going to give you a new hard drive. And, you know, religion, self-help books, even therapy, these are operating systems, right? These are lenses through which you view the world. It's how do we want to operate in the world? And the thing is, it's very hard to run high-level operating systems on a stressed-out PC from 1995. Mm-hmm. And so we really need both. And the meditation is going to up-level your nervous system and your brain, and then it allows you to choose whatever operating system you want to run. And a lot of people are afraid it's going to be in conflict with their religion. It's not. You know, meditation, they say prayer is talking to God, meditation is listening. And any good conversation has to have both. And a lot of us are praying, we're actually just complaining to God or begging to God, which is different than like creating the space to listen to how nature wants to use you. How does nature want to use you to deliver your unique gifts to the world? So it's not in conflict with religion. I definitely think you should use therapy and meditation. And I know that that can feel pricey and overwhelming, but again, it's like, what are you going to invest in if not your brain? Mm-hmm. And now there's so many great apps out there, you know, that even for therapy, like talk therapy, you can do on apps. There's people who do prorated things. We're going to talk about a discount for Ziva Online, which is our online training. We're going to offer everybody 25% off of Ziva Online, which is also the kind of thing that you do once. And then you have the training to take with you for life, right? Like you and I only met for like an hour and a half a day for 4 days. Mm-hmm. And yet we're 2.5 years later, even through a pandemic, and you're still doing this every day, twice a day. So it's like it's a training. And then once you have it to take with you for life. But absolutely therapy and meditation, especially if you've had trauma, which P.S. if you're a cop, you've had trauma.
And we were doing a lot of work around, you know, mental therapy and trauma. And we want to just reiterate that, you know, it's important you find a therapist that you connect with and is actually doing the work that you need. And, you know, don't be afraid to disengage from a therapist and find one that's actually more your fit.
Yeah, it's like dating. You're not going to go on a dating site and date one person and be like, well, dating sucks. It's like, no, you just didn't find your person yet. And also want to give a shout out to Thomas Jones, of paradoxprocess.org. He's my therapist. He has been for 20 years. I dated around a lot and I found him. He is like one of the most emotionally intelligent humans I've ever met. Awesome. And like one session with this man is like 100 sessions with someone else. Like he is fast and he clears stuff so beautifully.
That's wonderful. I'm actually going to look into him. You know, when you talk, I guess, I don't know if I'm just such a person who's willing to listen and hear others. And I think that when you speak, it just speaks to my soul. So it's, I'm sitting here just like, when you see my body language, I'm like, oh, this is great. I'm just enamored by it. I love it so much. It's meant so much. I know it's going to mean a lot for the world. That's why I'm pushing it on the agenda of us as a profession. And we can edit this part out of the podcast if you don't want to do it. Would you mind sharing some of the turmoil of going through your divorce? If you don't want to do that, that's fine.
Yeah, but happy to.
I think that there's a lot of, it's a prevalent thing in society. I think it's a prevalent thing in law enforcement. And I don't think, to be honest with you, anybody is absolved from becoming somebody subjected to finding themselves in a divorce-like situation. Mm-hmm. And I imagine it's probably one of the most terrifying things that you could go through. Without, you know, so without saying much more, I just love to hear what that experience has been like thus far.
Yeah. I mean, I'll share that, you know, my ex-husband is an amazing man and he's an amazing father and I love him. And I am so grateful for everything that he gave me and taught me. And I know that that's not the case with everybody. You know, some people are in really contentious situations. Some people are in danger. And so I am so grateful that I had such an amazing partner for so long. And then I guess for me, what was challenging is that I just hated hurting someone that I loved so much. And that was heartbreaking. And then of course we triggered each other's stuff, you know, because that's just the way that relationships work. You know, I believe that relationships are here to teach us our lessons. Mm-hmm. And so if there's lessons that you need to learn, it's like going to hand you a syllabus of like, okay, here's the stuff you haven't mastered yet. And so for me, it's, I am recovering codependent. I'm a recovering people pleaser. And I had an alcoholic and like emotionally abusive father. And so for me, I have a lot of like fear of anger. Like if men get angry around me, it's very triggering. And I go into little girl mode. Mm-hmm. And so then rather than letting someone else express the fullness of their emotions, I just try to like fix and solve. And that's not healthy, right? It's not healthy for anybody. And so I was, what's that?
A fixer? Were you coined a fixer?
Yeah. I mean, it's why I'm so good at my job, right? Because I can basically fix anything. You know, you can bring me any emotional thing and I have super antenna and I can like intuit and know, because my whole life I was trying to like fix my dad. I was like, oh, well, I can prevent him from being mad. And then if he doesn't get mad, then we'll be safe. Right. And so it's like everything has a light and a dark side. So, you know, the light side is that growing up with a dad like that gave me these emotional superpowers. And the dark side is that for me, conflict feels like life or death. It feels like if I fight with this person, I might die. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make sense. It's not rational. But that's the feeling in my body. And that's why meditation has been so helpful for me, because it gives me a timeout. I can remind myself like I'm not actually in danger. I'm totally safe. You know, this is a human experience. And so I've learned a lot through this. And at the end of the day, I think we have so many judgments and like moral judgments around divorce. And like, if I had to get on a soapbox about it, I would just say that divorce is not bad. Divorce is not a failure. You can have a totally successful, wildly successful marriage and it ends. You could have a wildly successful job and you could leave that job. You could be a wildly successful parent and yet your kid is going to leave the house. Mm-hmm. So I want to just reframe this idea that divorce equals failure. And that the failure, you know, I would say is just two people who are not a fit being unhappy until their grave. Like that seems like a failure to me.
Do you think at some point you were in the beginning, it was more like you were together and then you kind of grew apart as the time progressed?
Yeah, I think that was part of it. Yeah. And I think just different realizations. Okay. I think that we had a lot to teach each other. And I think that we offered a huge syllabus to each other and we learned a lot from each other and then we graduated.
Mm-hmm. That's good. It's refreshing to hear that you can say such positive things about your ex-husband or father of you have one, right?
I have one child. Yeah.
And do you know that it's not called Puppy Patrol anymore? It's called Paw Patrol.
Yeah. Paw Patrol.
Yeah. Years ago when I came to your thing, you said, I'm watching this show called friggin' Puppy Patrol. I was like, oh, it's Paw Patrol. I got four.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Paw Patrol. Yeah. I'm very familiar. I got the soundtrack on repeat in the living room.
You were new at this. You didn't have it down yet. You called it Puppy Patrol and I don't forget things, lady. I hold you accountable for
that. I stand corrected.
I saw Sonic 2 yesterday. I mean, this is literally, I am the expert of Nickelodeon, Disney Plus 4, 8, 6, 4, and 2.
Wow. Well, we got to get them on Ziva Kids.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I have a kids meditation training for 4 to 14-year-olds.
My oldest has anxiety.
It's so, so, so good. I worked on this thing for 2 years with folks from Harvard and Sesame Street. And I got a co-star. His name is Z Bunny. He's a puppet. Sweet. So anyone with kids out there, first you meditate, right? Because they got to learn it by watching you, but
they
already
watch it
have
every
that
day.
Part down. And so now like Ziva Kids.
It's so funny how they won't interrupt me. The baby will. She doesn't. She's still like, if she catches me, she's 2.5. But you know, you're like, oh, I'll hear it. You know, because obviously everything's going on. And just like, no, daddy's meditating. Where's your father? Oh, daddy's meditating.
Oh, it's you know? So cute. My son sometimes will sit in my lap because I'll ask him. I'll be like, buddy, do you want me to do it out here? Or do you want me to do it in the bedroom? And I'd be like, do it out here. And now he knows, like, he'll just play quietly or read books. And sometimes he'll sit in my lap with me. And it's adorable.
How old is he now? 3, 4?
He's almost 4.
Yeah. I was going to say, I knew it was about that time for me. You just had a child. That's amazing. That's good stuff. And I hate to gloat so much. I enjoy being around people who I think that are contributing so much to me back. I'm just feeding off the constant energy. I wish I had more to offer you other than the feedback of what you've done for me.
No, this is why I do what I do. Like selfishly, I love hearing people's stories. Me too. And so I know you said that the plane is a big one for you, but what else? Like what's shifted for you from the Ziva practice?
I got to tell you, like, you know, running a company that is as rapidly growing as this one is. Mm-hmm. Again, I also spend a lot of time in self-education. I'm constantly trying to level up. I am part of the 5 a.m. club. I'm trying to get up at 5:10 in the morning.
What time do you go to bed?
If I'm not sleeping by 10:30, that's when I'll start being like, what the fuck? Why am I not falling asleep? Uh-huh. Right? But I'll try to make sure I really shut it all down. I got to be sleeping by 10:30. I wake up, I make peeps. I sit on the couch. I meditate. I usually throw a blanket over, cover myself and just sit there and meditate for the 22 minutes. One question I had for you is probably selfish of me. I have two questions. One is, should we be manifesting for the now or for the very far future?
Well, so spoiler alert. So Ziva is mindfulness, meditation, and manifesting. And manifesting is simply you creating a life you love.
That's right.
It doesn't have to be that woo-woo. It's not that far. It's simply you asking yourself, what would I love? And that sounds simple, but no one's doing it. Everyone's like, oh God, I got to get out of survival mode. What's going to look good? What's going to make me more money? And like, we're all like surviving instead of like thriving. And just asking, you know, Tony Robbins says the quality of your life is determined by the quality of your questions. Mm-hmm. When you ask your question twice a day, what would I love? The quality of your life is going to improve. So now what I teach inside of the course is, what would I love? So after the meditation, when the right and left hemispheres of the brain are functioning in unison, you've flooded your brain and body with dopamine and serotonin, which are bliss chemicals. You've accessed source energy. And so you've really primed your brain and body to be ready for this manifestation. And then you ask yourself the question, what would I love right now? So the right now piece can be a little confusing. And what I mean by that is what desire is alive for you at the moment? Not what did I write in my high school yearbook? Not what did I major in college? Right. Not what did I promise my wife 10 years ago? What would I love right now? Now, I wrote a book, right? This book, Stress Less, Accomplish More. We made it to like number 7 on the Wall Street Journal list.
It's an amazing book.
USA Today.
You did an audio version too, by the way, because I hate fucking reading. And the audio version is great. Did a very nice job at it.
Thank you. I read it myself, which I'm really proud of.
It's excellent. It was excellent.
So it's like for the 2 years that I was working on that, my desire in the now was I want my book to be a New York Times bestseller. And right. So I was imagining that I was seeing it in print. I was seeing the celebration party. And so every time I would check in, and some days it would be like, oh, I'd love a nap, or I'd love, you know, to have a great cup of coffee or something. But most of the time it was, I want my book to be a New York Times bestseller. Right. And so I would dream that, but that just was a phase of life where I had a singular goal for a while. Now it's quite different. Like my life is more varied now. So my manifestations are more varied.
You look younger now than you did 2.5 years ago.
Thank you. So let's talk about the science there. This style of meditation has been scientifically proven to reverse your body age by somewhere between 8 to 15 years.
Sign me up again. Can I do 4 a day?
Well, no, you can't. But if you think about it, like look at any president the day they take office.
Oh, forget it.
And that same president 4 years later, all of them age decades because they have the weight of the world on their shoulders. Mm-hmm. And so it's not an accident. Like we know that stress ages us expeditiously. And this thing is removing stress faster than anything else on the planet. So of course it's going to reverse your body age.
Man, I really wish, you know, for somebody who's constantly trying to level up and live a better life and continue to grow. And I know that you do self-education because you're quoting Tony Robbins and all these other things. You're constantly self-educating. I have friends that get diagnosed with cancer. And the first thing I say is like, you know, you should really look at this meditation. I'll even pay for it. I don't give a shit. Like, I think that you should really get into it. I think it'd be a part of your recovery process, obviously with diet and the processed foods and sugars and all those things that we're taking in that we're not supposed to be taking in. But meditation is always in my forefront of conversation. And I brag to people because I want them to know that how, you know, this is important. This is stuff that we're talking about for the now and for the future of the things that you should put on your priority list, not 17 White Claws on Friday. You know, if you want to do that, that's fine. But, you know, if you're dealing with a lot of these things and you're dealing with these stressors, you've got to stop. I told a girl in the office today, she said, I can't. I said, you know, you got to start saying I can. Everything you say is I can't. That's all I hear out of you. But you got to start saying, telling yourself a different story.
Or just what if, you know, because the thing is, if she's really dependent and committed to that story, I can't, to go from I can't to I can might be too big of a jump, but she might be able to ask a question, and the brain can actually receive questions easier than it can statements. So she could ask the question, what if I could, what if it all works out? What if the obstacles went away? What if? You know, and then you're just impossibility. And then your brain starts asking those questions. And the thing is, we have this thing called a reticular activating system in our brain, which is the filtration device in our brain. And it's constant. This is a good pitch for manifesting, but if you're stressed, then that reticular activating system, that filtration device, is constantly looking for, is this thing going to kill me? What's the next life-threatening situation? So it's like step one, we got to get out of that survival mode. We have to get out of that fight or flight. And then we afford ourselves the luxury of asking, what would I love from a place of safety? And so it sounds like, yes, the meditation would do two things for her. It would get her out of that survival mode and then get her into possibility. What if I can have what I want?
I have thoroughly enjoyed this. I mean, I cannot emphasize, this is probably the most selfish podcast for me.
Great.
And I have one last question. It's a selfish question. Does my mantra expire? Do I get a new one? What do I do? You tell me.
Okay. So you're 2.5 years in?
Yeah. Okay. But I got to be honest with you. I don't want to lie. I'm daily. I'm trying to keep up with the 2 times a day. Sometimes I miss. I'm really trying to buckle back down.
Well, you told me your record, like you're every morning and then most afternoons, and I'm giving you a million gold stars. Like, look, if you think 365 days a year, you're doing twice a day meditation, that's 730 a year. I gave you 30 get out of jail free cards, right? So you probably use those. Ugh. And so now that we're talking, just like reset it, like start from zero, start from day to day, go into your calendar, put them into your calendar, schedule them, and know that everything you're doing, like 4 to 5 in the afternoon, like 4 or 5 meditations in the afternoon, is awesome. And let's celebrate your successes. So yes, after a year of practicing every day regularly, then you would be eligible to come in and do an advanced technique if you wanted. And I am teaching again live in June 10th through the 12th.
Wait, am I eligible for that now?
Yeah, you could come in June.
Oh shit, I'm signing up.
Great. Come. Yeah,
I'm coming. You don't got to explain it to me, as long as it doesn't fall on anybody's birthday.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I just realized that we haven't even announced this like to people of the advanced technique. So yes, I will send an email and I'll follow up with you. So that's that. But I do want to let people know how to even get started. Like you're talking about advanced stuff.
Do it. I don't want to end this without that stuff. That's the best stuff.
Yeah. So I would say, so in order to work with me face to face, like you did, now people have to start with an online course, which is so beautiful. And it's so simple. It's only 15 minutes a day for 15 days. So it's like, you just wake up and before you have your coffee, you know, you're brushing your teeth, like before you start your day, you just wake up, pee, and then start this 15 minutes a day for 15 days. And then you graduate from this thing called Ziva Online. And this is going to train you in the 3 M's, the mindfulness, the meditation, the manifesting. It's going to teach you how to select a mantra from a very specific list. And it's going to give you this core foundational practice. And then if you want to learn with me face-to-face in person, then we actually offer a scholarship to COPS, which would be amazing. And then for the online course, we're going to offer a 25% off code, which is simply Street Cop. So when you go to zivameditation.com/podcast, we have a free gift for you there. And then if you enroll in the course, just put in the code Street Cop. That'll give you 25% off. And then if you want to meet in person and do the course that you did, then we're offering a full scholarship to that for COPS.
I just want to acknowledge you for one thing. And this is why I've been such a proponent of you, is that you didn't even know I was a cop. And I remember your staff saying to me, well, you know, you look like you're in law enforcement. I said, yeah, I'm retired. I was active. And they said, well, no, you're eligible for it. I said, well, I don't want to be eligible for it. I want to pay for it. And I ended up negotiating with them. So I got to bring Jay for free. I paid the tuition, but I was more than happy to pay for it. But I want to acknowledge that here is somebody that you would probably not think is very, very supportive of law enforcement, but is and understands in this community of the amount of, you know, it's hard for people to measure because the media doesn't really portray what police actually go through. It's a very, very detrimental, tough position at times. You know, you may see things like shows like Cops and Live PD and think it's all that, but we see dead children, horrific crashes, suicides. I remember saying to myself one time going into a, you know, into a house that I had to go into that to find an inevitable decomposing human body. I said, well, you know what? And the family was outside and they said, we think, you know, he's inside. And I went, oh, fucking Christ. Like, I got to do this. Like, you know, I could do a lot of things. I hated finding dead people. I just hated doing it. And, I said, you know what though? Somebody has to do it. And this is what I was chosen to do. And, you know, I don't think that I'm somebody who really lives with a lot of that trauma. I'm trying to do whatever I can to find and address any of that stuff. But to acknowledge this community of some of the best human beings you'll ever meet in your life, some of the most selfless human beings ever, the most compassionate. And again, not everybody, but majority of them, being in this profession over 21 years now and knowing who these people are at their core, they all have good souls. Just thank you on behalf of all of us. And I'm a national spokesperson for law enforcement. And I think you deserve that because before I knew you, you're already offering that. That wasn't something. And by the way, disclosure, I have no fiduciary interest in Ziva Meditation or Emily Fletcher. I'm actually blessed that she agreed to come on this show today. And when she offered the code, I said, I want nothing to do with it. I just want the community to have it. And it's not me saying you owe me something. I'm saying I'm good, right? Let's give it back to everybody else. And she agreed right away to offer a discount to everybody. And I'm thankful for that. And these men and women need it. And I'm going to tell you that if somebody literally jumps on board, starts taking this and decides to do this instead of sticking a pistol in their mouth, we've won. Even if it's one person, this goes on all the time.
Yeah. And I know that suicide rates are so high and stress rates and depression and anxiety. And it sucks to live a life of service and then to be thanked with depression, anxiety, and suicidal tendencies sucks. And that doesn't have to be the way. Like, as intense and even as unsolvable as the stress and trauma might feel, I do want people to know that it is solvable. It's finite. The amount of stress in your body is finite. And these tools, these technologies have been around for 6,000 years, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is not new age stuff. These are proven techniques. And it's the most powerful stress relieving tool I've ever found. And this, in combination with therapy, this in combination with some other tools, really can turn everything around in a way that you're not in survival anymore. You're not just like, how do I get out of depression? You're actually thriving. And you're like, oh, how can I serve? How can I contribute? And that's when we are all at our best, right? That's when we're all the happiest. Not serving from a place of martyrdom, not serving of a place of I'm struggling, but I feel a sense of duty, but actually generosity because your cup is so full that it's overflowing. Like, that's what I want for this community.
Yeah. I admire you so much. I mean, really, it's not very often that I get, I admire somebody so tremendously. Mm. It's such an impact in my life. And, you know, I'm going to tell everybody here that I was led to Emily through listening to another podcast. I heard her on. I said, well, this is very interesting. Then I bought her book. So if you're a skeptic, my suggestion is for the $15 to $20 of the book may cost, I don't know, on Audible or...
It's probably like $1.99 on Kindle or something, or sometimes even free on Audible. So
Yeah. So like, it was a great book. And I wanted today to try to go into some techniques, but rather than do that on this podcast, buy the book. There's techniques inside of it. The 4 seconds in, 2 seconds out. Do I have it reversed? Is it 2 seconds? Two and four out, right? So I remember being on a plane listening to that. And I was actually having anxiety on this plane while we're hitting turbulence. And I was doing that. And I'm like, oh shit, this is working. Yeah. You know, so I was, yeah, it's real. You know, you're talking to somebody who, you know, I'm a believer. I'm glad I'm a believer. And I just can't thank you enough. Where else can they find you? I know on Instagram, I know on Facebook. Yeah. Tell them everything.
Yeah. So we're at Ziva Meditation on social media. I'd say Instagram is our most, active social media channel, but really the best place to go is zivameditation.com/podcast. And then they're going to get a free gift, this beautiful audio that they can just start using right away. And then for people who want to take advantage of this code, this discount while it's around, you just put in Street Cop and that'll give you 25% off of that 15-day training. And then that's sort of like the foundation. And then if you want to work with me face to face, again, I'm offering 100% scholarship. It's usually a $1,200 course worth every penny, but we offer full scholarships to cops for that as just a way to say thank you.
It's the best. It is the best. And I just want to thank you for taking the time to do this today. It meant the world to me. You got to send me that June stuff. I'm there. Like,
great.
I'm there.
Yes. Yeah, I'm so coming. Happy.
I'm pumped. I didn't even know I could do this again.
Great. Well, now it's just like, you don't have to. And I want to be leery of like seeming like a, you know, salesperson where it's like, you got to keep coming back.
No.
But it's like for people like you that are like, this has changed my life and I want more. I want next. Then yes, you can deepen your practice. So I'll send you the stuff.
All right, this is the best. Thank you so much again. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for having me. Bye, everybody.
Bye.